I transitioned to keto basically when I kind of had a spout with postpartum depression. It was kind of like piled on. Yeah, it was piled on top of my anxiety that I was already suffering from. So I really kind of hit like a really hard, what I call is like my mom rut, or, you know, I want to say rock bottom. I don't feel like it was rock bottom, but at that point, that's how I imagined it would felt.
Welcome to Grit and Moxie, where we are celebrating women's witness, fitness, and gritness. I'm your hostess, Christine D'Souza.
Friends, thank you for being listeners of this podcast. And please do share this with your friends. And be sure to stay to the end to hear more about the incredible new platform that I've been using with my virtual fitness clients.
Welcome back to Grit and Moxie. Today we have Brenda Braylon. She is a keto coach and a personal trainer, and I am so excited to have her here because I've got a lot of questions about this keto deal that's been swirling around, and I want to know more, and I know that you want to know more because a lot of times we're curious but a little bit of afraid and also sometimes misinformed, and out there there's so many different opinions on this, so I am dying to talk to her, and let's do that right now. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here, Brenda.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to chat with you and talk keto.
Yes, for sure. But before we get into the keto business, I'd love for you to give myself and our listeners an idea of kind of what your day-to-day is like, you know, what your family lifestyle is like, and kind of just a little bit about you personally, just to give us a little bit of context, because we've got all sorts of listeners here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I am a mom. I have a 6-year-old daughter and a about to be 4-year-old boy. He actually turns 4 on Saturday. And my husband is a baseball coach at an NAIA college here in central Missouri.
Oh, wow. So
we are very busy. You know, I now run my own business from home. I actually just quit my 9-to-5 four weeks ago. So thank you. So working from home is very new to us. I always call, you know, my life a shit show because I feel like that's really what, right? Like it's on a day to day, like we just kind of go with the punches. I'm constantly like working with my kids to figure out like who needs to be where at what time, because my daughter's in cheer, my son's in soccer, my husband's hunting or he has practice, so there's always something. But that's kind of, you know, what our day-to-day looks like. I work from home. I work with all my clients on the computer, so I'm constantly on calls and doing those things with them, and then in the middle of the day I take time to go to the gym and do my own thing, get my own self, you know, my own little time in. And then we go about our business on the evenings doing kids activities is what it normally is.
Yeah. But so you have it structured. So kind of you've got your clients in the morning, break in the middle of the day, and then evening is back to family.
It is. Yeah. I wake up pretty early. So typically I wake up around 4:15, 4:30, because I try to get a lot of my stuff I can do. Like I have a morning routine where I do like my gratitudes and my affirmations and that type of stuff before I even get started for the day. So I do all that before my kids wake up. And then about 6 o'clock, I go help them get ready. And I get ready myself, take them to school. And then from the time they work till from 8 to 2 about is whenever I kind of my meat of my day is in there. Then when I get the kids, we all know it's hard to get anything done with the kids running around. That is what it is, right?
Yes, for sure. I definitely blame them for all my misprints. Because they're half the time they're sitting on my lap and just like, you know, driving their, you know, my son always loves to drive his 4-wheeler over the keyboard. I'm like, nah!
Yeah, it's like mid-thought. They ask you for something, then you keep going and you forget. You miss something in between there or whatever.
When that was done and perfect.
Right? Exactly. Exactly.
Wow, that's so, it's refreshing to, you know, always talk to another woman who gets it, you know. So curious, what time do you go to sleep if you're getting up at 4:15?
We're normally in bed. My kids go to bed around 8:30. I'm normally in bed by 9:30, 10 at the latest. I'm not a big TV watcher because if I watch TV, I'll stay up all night watching it. So I typically will read a couple, you know, read a chapter in my book and I'll put my book down and go to bed. I will say like my like daily routine as far as nighttime and morning routine is very new. Like this has been like in the last year. Before that, it like, you know, I got up, I looked at my phone, I did my work, I went to bed whenever I wanted to, you know, it was like all of that. But my morning and my nighttime routine are very much like the end and the beginning of my day. And I feel like they set the tone for so much. So I try to stick to things as closely as I can.
Yeah, that's great advice. Really great advice. Nice. So you transitioned into keto, right? Now, how many years has it been? I think I saw somewhere that it was maybe 3 years. Is that right?
Almost 4 years. So it was 3.5 years in June. So I guess we're right around there. I transitioned to keto basically when I kind of had a spout with postpartum depression. It was kind of like piled up. Yeah, it was piled on top of my anxiety that I was already suffering from. So I really kind of hit like a really hard, what I call is like my mom rut, or, you know, I want to say rock bottom. I don't feel like it was rock bottom, but at that point, that's how I imagined it would felt.
Right.
So, you know, with talking with doctors and my OB, which my OB was the only person I knew who knew I had postpartum depression. I didn't talk about it at that time. And she wanted me to get on these on this medication. And just the more I looked into it was just not something that really aligned with me and that I wanted to do. So I just kind of started looking for something that could help with my depression and my anxiety and found the ketogenic lifestyle, jumped into it and failed miserably many times. But here I am, you know, still 4 years later, I figured it out and going strong.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you actually failed a couple times and kept going with it and had to figure it out, because most often, you know, if you fail at something, you're like, all right, forget it. That didn't work. You know, especially if you're a personal trainer. So my question to you is, were you a personal trainer before, or were you in another field before?
I wasn't. So I actually, up until 4 weeks ago, I did marketing and advertising for a country club. And before that, I owned a photography studio. So I did that for 7 years. I'm very much like the entrepreneur spirit. Like I want to work for myself. I want to help people. I want to, you know, that's just me. Before that, you know, I've always been an athlete. Even in college, I played college volleyball. So working out and doing that stuff was came easy to me. I got my certification 2 years ago, I believe, really kind of once I started my business, you know, obviously for the credibility side of it. When it went online, you don't know who you can trust. And I felt like I wanted to make sure that I gave everyone every resource they needed to make sure that they were getting what they were paying for from me as a coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they could trust me, because, you know, we all know it's hard to know who you can trust in the online space these days.
Oh yeah.
So I got my personal trainer certification, and I got my nutrition specialist certification, and I'm just getting ready to finish up my keto mastery certification, which is it's a high level keto certification for specifically to keto through NASAM. So just continuing my education and continue learning. You know, you can never be done learning, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was your experience like when you were failing in keto? Like, what were your thoughts? What were you thinking? Because, you know, for sure we hear a lot of negative things about keto.
Yeah, absolutely. Believe me, I'm not new to the negativity that surrounds the lifestyle. And I think, you know, in my opinion, I think we're just conditioned to think that one way is the only way. And I don't think that health and fitness or food or anything is a one size fits all. Like what I do necessarily is going to work for you or the next person next to me. Right. You know, but if you want to try it and you want to give it your all, then that's how you're going to find that thing that works for you. Right. Mm-hmm. But whenever I started keto, I was doing keto based on what I was finding on Pinterest. Everything on Pinterest was like, you know, eat a bunch of cream cheese and dairy and bacon and all of this crap, right? And just eat this and you'll be fine. Well, I ultimately was doing that and screwed up my hormones, screwed up my metabolism, was actually going in the opposite direction that I needed to be. And at that point, when I failed, I was like, okay, I have to like figure out, because I knew at that point how my body functioned without sugar. And I knew that I felt better cognitively, and I knew it was helping my depression. I knew it was helping my anxiety, but I had to figure out how I could have the two of those things and also help my body composition. So I kind of like just started playing with my macros and playing with how I could keep my body in ketosis and still, you know, eat higher protein, which is what I enjoy and what works for me, and not necessarily eat 75% fat. And that's, you know, through doing that and trial and erroring my way through it, I was able to kind of develop my strategy that allows me to live the ketogenic lifestyle. You know, I don't eat a bunch of dairy. I don't eat all this like processed crap. You know, I just eat very healthy. And I always tell everyone this, like, if no one knew I was keto, like they would just think I eat meat and veggies, because that's majority of what my, you know, my food is meat and veggies. But yeah, so I failed miserably so many times, like for, I think it was like a solid 8 months that it was like this crazy roller coaster of like failing and couldn't figure it out and eating crap that didn't support my metabolism, my hormones, and failing again. It was just crazy. But I knew just based on the science and how I felt without the sugar that this was the direction that I needed to go. Yeah. And I wanted to figure out how I can make it work. And I knew other women were going to be in the same situation as I was, that were going to be feeling as shitty as I was, that needed to feel the way I was feeling. And I just wanted to figure out a way to make that very simple and very sustainable. And that's kind of what I developed over those 8 months.
Nice. So what did you end up settling on then for your macros? Because a lot of people think that you can't have any carbohydrates, like no fruit, no vegetables, like, you know,
yeah.
Couple so for pounds me, of rice. I don't know. Right. Yeah. People don't know.
Yeah. So so keto in general, you can have veggies and you can have fruit. You're limited on the legumes and rice and wheats and flours and those types of things, because it all comes down to blood sugar spikes, right? Like we feel shitty and a lot of times we hold on to fat and our body metabolizes things differently because of how our body reacts to foods. So whenever we eat a potato or, you know, a rice or whatever it is, it causes glucose spikes. Well, when that glucose spikes, that's when things are triggered for like even cognitively, like the depression, the anxiety. And when that fall comes back down, that's when we experience the crashes and when we hold on to food for energy because our body doesn't know what it's going to get later. So, you know, when it came to me and my macros, I started low carb and I worked my way down, which is what I do with majority of clients. And I think that the biggest misconception with keto is that you have to stick to 20 grams of carbs and 75% fat and all this, right? That's not the case. Like everyone's macros can be specifically customized to them. You know, I have some clients that eat, you know, higher protein and less fat, where some of my other clients don't eat very much protein because it doesn't fit their lifestyle and they eat higher fats, right? But the main goal is to keep our body in ketosis where it's functioning optimally. And we're able to do that with a wide variety of macros. Mm-hmm. So, you know, macros are very specific to the person and their, you know, their metabolism, the hormone, their age, their height, their activity level, like everything plays into part with that. So, you know, ultimately what I settled on was just, something that works good for me, which is a higher protein. I eat very low carbs now, but you know, then I didn't. Now I actually even teeter more on the carnivore keto side just because I'll be honest, like I'm very busy. Like I don't have time to cook. I don't want to cook. I don't enjoy. So I do stuff that's very quick and easy. And, you know, and that's what, you know, a lot of my clients find is like, they want quick and easy and you can do that either way in the ketogenic space. Like you don't have to spend a bunch of money. You don't have to spend a bunch of time in the kitchen. Like it is so simple that some people overthink it. Majority of people overthink it way too much.
Yeah. Well, that was actually my next question was, I wanted to know, how can you tell if you are burning fat or if you're burning protein, right? So they're both at like a form of ketosis, right? That both can get you there. Is that right?
Yeah. So whenever we're looking at ketosis from a metabolic standpoint, what we're looking at is our ability to basically take in energy and how it's utilizing it, right? So when we take in carbs, our body's going to try to utilize that for energy. Well, now we're burning ketones, right? Some people think that if you have higher amounts of protein, that protein gets broken down into glucose, which is not the case for 99% of the population. So when it comes to ketosis, basically, you know, when I think about it, like broken down as simple as possible, if we lower our sugar intake, our body has to find other sources of energy. Mm-hmm. And that's natural source of energy for our body is ketones. Our like we're born in ketosis. When babies have a higher amount of ketones in their body, even when they're breastfeeding.
Yeah.
It's a natural form for our body. So whenever our body, oops, are you still there? Okay. Sorry. Whenever our body gets into ketosis by lowering those carbs, some of the things that we can experience are, you know, obviously the fat loss, which is one of the biggest things, but cognitive function, energy, better sleep, increased performance as far as like athletic performance goes, all of these things. And like we talked about before, the cognitive function for me, like the decrease in my anxiety, like the help with my postpartum depression, all of these things are benefits from our body functioning on an optimal source of energy rather than trying to constantly find something that isn't necessarily allowing our body to function at an optimal state in all areas.
Right. So do you test or do you just go based on how you're feeling?
So I test not as often anymore. Some of my clients test, majority of them, they're all on a meal plan and they track their macros. So I see what they're eating and we know by body composition changes and how they're feeling that they're in ketosis. Mm-hmm. But for someone who's wanting to know, the best route to go in testing your ketones, in my opinion, is blood ketone levels. And there's a meter, it's called Keto Coach is the meter. It's the best meter out there. That's the one I highly recommend utilizing. You can also do urine ketone samples or breath ketones. Mm. Those urine ketones only work for so long. Once your body gets a fat adapted, you're not going to be able to get a very accurate reading there. But blood ketone is definitely the way to go. Like for me, when I started, I could very easily get a blood ketone level of like 1.5 or higher. Now, like I sit right around 0.5 just because my body's fat adapted. It's constantly utilizing ketones. So I just don't have as many floating around in my blood system as what someone who's newly to keto would.
Now, so we've talked about kind of keto, like the borderline to the carnivore diet. And then, so my question is it possible for somebody who is vegetarian to go keto, basically? Oh, not vegetarian, vegan.
Vegan? Yes. There are people in the keto space who do it. It obviously is going to be hard and you're going to have to make sure you're supplementing in a lot of different things. You know, and that's just in general, someone who's vegetarian or vegan is going to have to make sure they're supplementing in different vitamins and those types of things, just right, to make sure that they're functioning optimally. It does make it harder. I have only had one vegan client. She was successful, but again, it makes it harder for them. And more or less I don't understand the vegan space as much. Like I understand it. I don't know how to work with their bodies as much. And I'm constantly learning on that. Mm-hmm. But like, for example, I had a client last month who she does not eat red meat. Like she lives on chicken and tofu and protein, right? Protein shakes. So very close. You know, we just have to make sure that we shift everything in a way that is sustainable and simple. I'm like a firm believer in thinking, like a lot of people think like, oh, I want to try this. But like, if you're constantly cramming yourself into a box that's labeled keto and like really it doesn't fit your lifestyle or the way you eat or any of that type of stuff, you're ultimately doing something that's not going to be sustainable or successful for you. So that's one of the biggest things that I always tell everyone is like, okay, if you're willing to give it a try and go for it, go all in, make sure you make it fit you. Otherwise you're wasting your time. Like no one wants to, you know, be unhappy or be on our diet roller coaster, which is what that ultimately leads people to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good advice. Now, what do you think about those beverages that you can drink ketones, sorry.
Yes. So funny story. I actually started my keto journey, like before I even knew what keto actually was, is I utilized this exogenous ketones. So I do understand the science behind them. And I do absolutely believe that there is a specific brand that uses the most available form of ketones, and it's more bioidentical to the ketones that your body produces. So they're using a very specific isomer that allows the ketones to actually be utilized and put into use inside of your body. With that being said, I don't believe that ketones are something that need to be used as a alternative to diet. If you're going to utilize ketones, they should be utilized as an aid. That should be in conjunction with making sure that your food is good, right? Like if you're eating a high carbohydrate diet and utilizing ketones, exactly. You might be on $100 bill because you're wasting time, right? Like you're not learning anything. You're not understanding how you need to eat to keep the weight off. You're not doing any of those types of things. So that is where, you know, I don't align very well with some of the marketing and things like that from exogenous ketones, but I do know that there is a specific brand that is a very high level, high performance brand that does have the science behind it to support everything. And I actually still drink them daily as pre-workouts, love them. But again, it's not something that my clients use. It's not something that I recommend to people who are just getting started. It's simply an aid for people who are already doing the ketogenic lifestyle or eating, you know, eating in a way that supports their metabolism, their hormones, and their health. And then they're able to utilize that.
Yeah. So almost like just a convenience, right?
Yeah. Like I like them for pre-workouts because it that's how it acts on my body, right? Like I like the energy. I like that, like for my pre-workout. I don't, you know, like I don't think that they should be used as like, oh, I want to lose 20 pounds. Let's drink something. Like if you want to lose 20 pounds and the word I need to take a pill or drink or do any of that stuff is anywhere in there, like stay away from it because it's not sustainable for you or anyone. And ultimately most women have tried so many things and failed. They need to find something that fits them and that helps them get off of the diet roller coaster. That doesn't allow them to continue to ride it.
Right. Yeah. I like that word that you used in the beginning, aid, as an aid.
Yes, absolutely.
So we talked, we talked about just the idea around objections, right? Around kind of like the negative connotation that keto has. What have been your biggest objections to, you know, you personally transitioning to this lifestyle and then to you coaching it, you know? People can get pretty outspoken about certain things and yeah, oh, so I'm curious.
Yeah, so yeah. I think, you know, objections in this space is not something I'm new to. When I started keto, and I tell this to everyone, like if I had listened to everyone on the internet or everyone who told me that I couldn't do this or that it wasn't sustainable or that I didn't know what I was doing, you know, I wouldn't be here today. Like bottom line, like, and I think when it comes to health and fitness that you have to do what works for you. Like you can't worry about what anyone else says because they're not living inside your body. Bottom line. And at that point, whenever all those objections were coming in, I just knew I couldn't, like, I had to stay laser focused on me and that's what I did. But as far as the objections go, like for the diet, like, you know, or the lifestyle, it's not sustainable. It's going to cause heart disease. You know, you're not going to be able to build muscle on keto, like all of these things, like there's so much, right? And honestly, like, and I don't like when people come to me with those types of objections, like I don't ever really get mad. I used to take it so personal. Now for me, it's like, okay, this is an opportunity to have a conversation and be open-minded because I feel like that's what, you know, that's where we can all learn, and maybe share some studies or share some things that I believe that might help these people understand what the ketogenic lifestyle is. I'm not saying that's for them, that they need to go live the ketogenic lifestyle, but maybe they can a little bit better because there's so many studies out there. There's so much. And Dr. Ryan Lowry and Dr. Jacob Wilson are huge pioneers in the keto space when it comes to their studies, when it comes to, you know, how they look at different diets, you know, from a low carb to a low fat diet, are, you know, and how things are metabolized in the body and what happens. There's so much out there, and like, I get nerded out on it. I enjoy it. But I heard like the objections are crazy, but I feel like, again, like it's not a one size fits all. Whenever it comes to any lifestyle, we're going to have objections no matter what lifestyle you do. You're going to have opinions from people that don't align with yours no matter what you do. So you just have to do you, and you have to be happy and do the things that make you happy. And I say this to all my clients, especially when they come in, because I'm like, you're going to have people who are going to tell you you can't do this. You're going to have people who are going to say, just, you know, it, carbs are okay. Like, carbs aren't your enemy. Like, I hear that all the time. I'm like, I know carbs aren't my enemy. Like, I get that. Like, I can have clean carbs and feel, you know, be okay. But I know how my body feels, and I know when I'm functioning optimally, and I know what works best for me. Right. So it's constantly those. And when it came to my coaching, it was always, people in the online space who just told me I didn't know what I was doing, that I couldn't coach people, all of those types of things. And whenever you get those types of objections, it all obviously can cause you to, self-doubt yourself and all of those things. And I think I always just try to keep myself focused on me and try not to focus on everyone else, because when people have these things to say, it really has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with them. So I just try to be open-minded, listen to them, see if I can, you know, give any type of positive feedback. And if I can't, then I just kind of let it go.
Yeah. It sounds like you have a nice approach to your keto diet, you know. Also, like it seems like you've thought through a lot of those objections and are really making it based on your particular body and what feels right for you. And that's right what you say, that, you know, more people need to pay more attention to how they're actually feeling. You know, mm-hmm. I always go back to this one example. I have celiac disease, right? So I can't have gluten. But when I first found out, I like didn't believe it, you know? So I knew, but I was like ignoring my body. So I went gluten-free and I was like, I don't know if I really buy it. I don't know if I really am gluten-free. And then, so I went back and I was like, I'm just going to eat gluten and see what happens. And then I saw what happened. And then I was like, okay. Got it. Don't need to do that again. That was a bad idea, you know? kind of thing. And it's, but it's, even though the doctors told me, I had to feel it for myself, you know, and sometimes people have to kind of come to that realization for themselves. And a lot of times they've got to experience it for themselves, you know, to even get to that point. So yeah. And there's a lot of trust involved there, self-trust and, you know, trusting of professionals. And yeah. So, I mean, that's really commendable that after three times you continued.
Yeah. And it's a lot of mindset, right? Like especially with women, like we focus on our body and we don't think about the mindset changes that need to come along with it. And that's a lot of times what people, you know, fail to fix in the process of trying to fix their bodies and making sure mindset is in the same place as where your body composition goals want to be. Mm-hmm. It really allows, you know, me to be successful in my own journey and being able to do this for 4 years. And that's what's ultimately been able to make all of my clients be successful, is we don't just come in and we work on meal plans and workouts. Like, we work on the mindset and the self-worth and all of those things that need to come along with any lifestyle change.
Yeah.
To be sustainable.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the foundation, right?
Yes.
Now, do you also do any kind of intermittent fasting with your keto? Because I know with, you know, some people who do keto, some people who do carnivore diet, or, you know, some people who just do intermittent fasting, but a lot of times that couples together. And I know the next question I was going to ask you is about the benefits of keto. But jumping ahead of that, I know that autophagy is kind of a big topic for longevity, right? So curious if you also include intermittent fasting.
I do. Yeah. So, I typically never eat breakfast. I always just start eating around 1 o'clock and I eat until 7:30 PM typically for me. That just works with my schedule, right? Like, it fits my family. It fits, you know, all of those things. The biggest thing with fasting is that, I always recommend to clients who are going into keto that they get their food on point first, to help support their hormones before they start fasting. A lot of women, and I actually talked about this on my Instagram stories yesterday, a lot of women under eat, right? So this causes a lot of issues when we look at hormones and metabolism. And you know, even I talked about thyroid yesterday, just in specifically, like if we are under eating and we're under regulating our thyroid hormone, that means that our body's not going to be utilizing the energy that's taking in and exerting it in a way that we want it to. Mm-hmm. So by fasting, a lot of times if women are not eating the right amount of food, fasting can actually hurt them. Yes. Are you not eating any? So you're going to lose weight for a short amount of time. Yeah. But you're going to screw up your hormone and you're going to screw up your metabolism. So then anytime you try to eat anything ever again, you're going to start gaining weight like crazy. So yes, I utilize fasting with my clients. I just make sure that it's in a specific way that is supporting their hormones and metabolism and long-term sustainability and not just quick weight gain or quick weight loss.
Right. Yeah. So what are some of the other benefits? So I know I've heard you say today that like the lowering of anxiety and depression, like more clear thinking, obviously, yeah. You know, improved body composition. Is there anything, any other like major benefits that I'm missing?
Inflammation is probably going to be one of the biggest ones because a lot of people suffer from, you know, diseases and things like that that are triggered by inflammation. Even clients who have like, or women who have PCOS can benefit from it because of the inflammation, the anti-inflammation aspect of it. Sorry. And then even when you go deeper and you look at keto from a mitochondrial standpoint, like there are so many studies that show and can actually give you scientific data showing how the ketogenic lifestyle can support mitochondria, can help in even things whenever we look at cancers and those types of things, and how it can actually help regulate and decrease cancer cells and those types of things. So, I mean, I'm not a doctor, and obviously, like, I don't want to get outside of my box, but definitely anyone who's listening, definitely go and research the ketogenic lifestyle. Look at the anti-inflammation benefits of it. Look at how it can help mitochondria. Look at like some of these studies that have been done with cancer patients and tumors and those things, and how fasting and the ketogenic lifestyle have been able to help in all of those different aspects.
Yeah, that's great. The first time I ever heard of a ketogenic diet was when my nephew went on a ketogenic diet because he had, has still, chronic seizures, roaming seizures. Yeah. And so it's supposed to be pretty beneficial for those who suffer with seizures.
Yes.
So, yeah. Really interesting stuff to research for sure. All right. So more questions. Sorry. Didn't know I had all these questions. Did you? Okay. So what about the keto smell, like the keto body odor? Have you heard that? Tell me about that.
I've not experienced it. And I've yet to have a client experience it. I will say like your pH in your body changes completely, right? So like, especially when you're like going through the keto, like when your body's getting into ketosis, like a lot of clients will notice like their breath smells different, or they'll even have bad breath because of the higher amount of ketones. But like, as far as like smelling bad, I don't feel like I've ever experienced that, or my clients ever have. Did I have to like switch up deodorants and things like that? Because like, just like normal, like I always feel like I do that anyways. Like I switch up my deodorant. But yeah, I have heard of that. I've not experienced it. I don't have any clients that have, but as far as bad breath, I've experienced that. And I have had clients experience that just from higher amounts of ketones.
Are you able to, you know, combat that? Is it just like Tic Tacs? That's your choice, or chew on some garlic? I mean, ginger or...
Yeah, it's mainly whenever you just get started, when your body's kind of getting used to having the higher amount of ketones, you know, it's one of the signs that your body's actually getting into ketosis. Now I don't have that issue anymore. But yeah, whenever it happens, I'm like, just drink lots of water, stay hydrated, drink your electrolytes, all of those types of things. Mm-hmm. Obviously you can do like sugar-free gum, like Pure and those types of things, but it's pretty short-lived, so it's not something that they have to deal with daily.
Yeah. Luckily. Just throw that one in there. Have you seen, there's a new blow up of Jillian Michaels. She did a commentary on ketogenic diet recently.
Gosh, no, and I haven't.
Now my YouTube feed is like filled with people talking about, you know, some doctors and you know, commenters are, you know, against what she said, and some are for, because she's kind of not really for the ketogenic diet. She's like, there's other ways, and you know, it's really interesting. I was just curious if you you have the latest drama.
No, but I feel like Jillian Michaels has always been one of those people who, she always speaks her mind, and when it comes to keto, she has a very straightforward point of view, and she doesn't really sway from that. So I've seen many memes and seen many things from her in the last 4 years based on keto. So
so you're familiar with it. All right. So we only have a couple minutes left, but I wanted to switch gears a little bit for those entrepreneurs that are in our audience and branding strategists. So you have a marketing background, but I've got to say the transition from your blonde to pink been amazing. I love it. So like pop, it just, you know, pops so much, but I'm curious about that. I'm curious about, you know, whether that was an intentional, you know, marketing, you know, kind of let's get this really rolling and standing out, or if it was just like, this is how the ketogenic diet is making me feel like I am bold and beautiful and amazing. And here I am, you know, curious about that, and even more curious now that I know your background.
Yeah. So, so the hair came from, I had been platinum blonde forever, and it really came because I kind of just stopped caring what everyone else thought. I was at a point in my life last year where, like, I almost felt like I was like just holding myself back constantly, like for years. And my hairdresser will tell people this. Like, I'm like, I always have been obsessed with the Bella twins and the one that has the red hair, bright red hair. And I was like, I wish I could do that. And one day I was like, well, why the hell can't I do that? Like, why can't I? Like, I was always so worried about what everyone else was going to think, or like trying to have like this perception that I guess someone else put my, like, was like, here, this is how you need to look or how you need to talk or all these things. And I, one day I was just like, why can't I do it? And I did it. Like, my husband had no idea. Like,
what was his reaction?
he was like, I'm not sure about this. It took him a while to get used to it. I've had it for a little bit over a year now. But like, I honestly, like, it was just kind of one of those things where I was like, I just want to be me. Like, I want to do me. This is what I wanted to do. Like, I'm going to go for it. And honestly, changing my hair color was probably one of the best decisions I made, because like at that point, like I was like, okay, like I'm going all in. Like, this is me. This is how I want to be. Like, I felt like I started showing up on social media more me, like not censoring myself or thinking that I can't say something because I'm going to, you know, it's not what everyone else would say or whatever. So I just kind of started, you know, not holding back. And this was kind of one of the first things outwardly to be able to express that. And I just went for it, and I have loved it ever since.
Well, it's awesome. I'm loving it. I am absolutely loving it. I mean, every time I see the pink, I'm like, oh, stop, what's she doing? You know, I think it's great. And I think exactly what you said, it's a great expression of you being able to kind of throw off like whatever was neutralizing you.
Yes. Yes. You know? That is a great way of putting it.
Yeah. That's amazing. So what, this will be my last question for you. What is the final thing that you would say to help others actually be able to become more true to themselves? I know it's a long journey, but
yeah,
it could encapsulate it.
Yeah, I think the first thing is like I always tell people like to sit back and look at their life and like be like, okay, are you living this life? Are you trying to get like, are you wanting a car? Are you wanting a house? Are you wanting to this job because it's what's going to make you happy? Or are you wanting it because it's what society is like telling you that you need? And then like sit back and look at like, what are the things that truly make you happy, right? Like, is it, you know, is it traveling? Is it, do you want to be own your own business? Do you want to do these things? Like all of these things. And then truly like saying, everything that makes you happy and that you want, you can literally achieve, like, everything, right? Like, there's nothing holding you back. So if you want to change your hair color, go change it. If you want to start a business, start the business right now. Like, don't wait. There's no perfect time for anything. Like, there's going to be people who doubt you. There's going to be people who don't agree with you no matter what you do. So you might as well do the things and be the person that makes you the most happiest. Bottom line.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Everyone find you.
I am on Instagram and TikTok at Balancing Breland. And then my website is brendabreland.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And all those details will be in the information. So everyone, please do check her out. And she is going to make you smile. She'll brighten your day.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you too.
Friends, thank you for listening. And as promised, I wanted to share that during this unprecedented 2020, I have moved my entire fitness and nutrition coaching virtually with the help of an amazing new platform, which allows me to coach you and your groups in real time with heart rate metrics, food logging, and insane accountability capabilities, and so much more. And if that sounds like something that you would like to be a part of, go ahead to christinedesouza.com and request a call with me. And Moxie, if you want to hear more, please do subscribe and share this with your friends and head on over for another Dose of DeSouza at christinedesouza.com. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.